since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1206. This is a brand new episode. Again, this is me right now, but I have a special audio that I recorded during one of my live streams about Paris joined in, and he was like, hey, let's just have a conversation. We haven't done a daily conversation in a very, very long time. We talked about everything. Things that's going on in the gaming industry, you know, E3 and a lot of cool stuff. So I'm going to play on this episode, and please send us your feedback. Let me know your thoughts about it. It's going to be really, really cool, man. So again, we're out of town. So this was recorded in advance because, again, I'm getting married. Paris is going to be busy doing this stuff. Pete is out of town, out of the country doing stuff, man. So don't worry. We're going to be back here with more content. But again, every week we have new content for you guys, and this is something that I can't stop, you know. But in the future, I'm planning to post my fireside sit down that is taking place at Games Beat Summit 2022 with the legendary and former president of Nintendo of America, Reggie Fils-Aimé. So stay tuned for that. It's gonna be a lot of fun, great conversation. It's gonna be like about 45 minutes or so. That's coming out here only on Gamertag Radio. So if you have an opportunity, go right now to Games Beat Summit for more information, the official website. I put it here under the description of this episode. Just sign up. The virtual event is totally free. Go take advantage of it right now. Virtual event is totally free for a limited time. Go right now. Sign up. You get to watch it. And in the future, I'm going to post the content here on the podcast on Gamertag Radio. Right now, head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. Remember, you could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Every time you follow us, subscribe, and even share the content, it will help us to get discovered. So we need your support. We need your support. You like the content, share it. And more importantly, go right now to your favorite podcast app and post your review. The more you do this, the more it's going to help us to get discovered. Super easy. Seconds. Only take a few seconds or even a minute to just post a review. So go right now to your favorite podcast app like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other place. Post a review and it will help us out. Now, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you can be part of the show.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's go straight to my conversation with Paris about all kinds of stuff. It's going to be really cool. This was live on Twitch, and it took place a couple of days ago. In the future, I'm planning to stream more on our official Twitch channel because, you know, I have a new setup and everything. It's going to be a lot of fun. I have new games that I'm planning to stream that hasn't come out yet. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. So this is the opportunity to go right now to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. Follow us, subscribe, or even just go there once I'm live in the chat and interact with me. I would love to hear where you're from and everything, man. So, all right, we're going to go straight to the conversation I had with Paris Lilly, and I'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
It's gonna work. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paris.
Why are you up so early doing this?
Because I feel like it. It's my business.
I got to take my son to school soon, but yeah. I was I'm sitting here working. Look at it. I saw you pop up. I was like, let me come here and mess with him.
Yeah. I don't know. The past couple of days, I haven't really been sleeping. I don't know if it's the wedding or what. I just can't sleep. So
I'm I'm sure it is.
You know. So I'm like, let me just stream. And some fun. And now I have like my own office, so I could just wake up. And before, I couldn't really do it.
Yeah,
I was always in the same room. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
But
no, but it's funny. The one thing you were talking about with TD Projekt Red with 18 million, believe it or not, that's actually a disappointing number.
Really?
Think about it. They had almost 14 million at launch, and since then, I mean, it's only gone up to 18, almost a year and a half later.
I mean,
you know, that goes to show you all the issues that game had, man.
I mean, Paris, but think about it though, man. The game got a lot of bad press, so a lot of people
I agree.
You know, I mean, with bad press, that's not a bad number, honestly speaking.
Danny, I still get for that game.
Still. Right now still. At 6:18 in the morning.
Yeah, I still get it. Still, like when someone doesn't like something I say about something else on social media or in a YouTube comment or something,
yeah,
they'll default to that. Oh, but you got your freaking yellow chair. It's like people still say it. It's just like you can't freaking win, dude.
Damn,
I don't work at CD Projekt Red. They got me too. What do you want me to do?
It's fun. Yo, Paris, what'd you think of what Kojima did last night?
Oh, he was 100% trolling. I mean, we were saying that last night.
Oh,
he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. He knew I'm gonna put the banner up since Death Stranding on. But with no context, I know everyone's going to lose their mind.
You know, which news? Come on. Everybody did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Everybody did. By the way, man, it looks like, I know we haven't watched wrestling in a long time, but it looks like the AEW game might get released later this year in September. That's the rumor. I'm curious about how that's going to look.
Yeah, I'm curious what it's going to look like.
Have you played 2K? WWE 2K?
I have it, but I haven't played it yet.
Yo, it is fun. That's the best wrestling game I played in years.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. I hear it's good.
In years. I think, did somebody made your character yet or no?
Yeah, I'm kind of funny made me. I'm on kind of funnies, that whole wrestling thing they're doing.
That's dope. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
So, Paris, man, if Summer Game Fest is officially happening in person or you know, I hope they do, because they did it with the Game Awards. This is an opportunity for Jeff. Man, I think E3 is like really...
Oh, E3's done. E3's done. Think about it. Jeff is literally doing E3. So how is the ESA going to come back next year? And Jeff, like, because what's going to happen is Jeff's going to do his thing. I'm telling you, it's going to be a hit. How is the ESA going to come back?
And also, and you went to Gamescom. What year was that? 2019?
2019, yeah.
So,
that was the last one. Yeah.
That also is coming back in person.
Yeah.
And most likely other events. PAX is happening soon now, next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It just looks really bad for E3 right now.
Nah.
It looks like that company just, they don't really need it. Look, I'm not going to say the name of the company because, you know, I got friends all over, but they're like, look, honestly, everybody's okay. We're going to be releasing stuff online. Like, it's, you know. So I think having this event not happening at all, dude, all the other companies, Nintendo, PlayStation, everybody's doing their thing digitally. They really don't need it, man. You know? We don't need it, so.
No, I agree. And the funny part about that is, I shouldn't even say funny, but, you know, when Jeff, when the news came out when E3 said they weren't doing anything this year.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of a sit down I did with Andrew, you know, Uriah in E3 2019, like the first day of it.
Yep.
I was like a freaking prophet, dude. I was saying it then. I was like, I think this is it. I was saying it then. I was like, I don't understand the relevance of this. Is more like the only reason I even like coming here is to obviously see friends. The actual relevance of this being a gaming show doesn't make sense anymore. You know, these platforms, like PlayStation's gone, EA's gone, Xbox has one foot out the door. I mean, I was saying this in 2019. So it's like, here we are in 2022. Why? Why would it? Look, let's keep it real. Xbox doesn't need E3 anymore. They do their own shows. They've proven that. They showed you that last year, right? PlayStation obviously is gone doing their own thing. EA isn't even doing an event this year. Mm-hmm. Dude, I don't see it. I don't see a reason. I mean, Jeff doing Summer Games Fest, he's going to get all the third party and indie people. Like, remember, he was the one that first showed Elden Ring last year. Oh, which, yeah, is going to be the game of the year this year. So again, what's, yeah, the point of E3? There's no point. There's zero point to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and then you throw in the fact that he's also associated with Gamescom. He's going to do, you know, opening night live, and it's going to be in person again. And having experienced that in 2019, that is a far more efficient in-person show for the public than E3 could ever hope to be. So you're going to continue to have a Gamescom thing. Mm-hmm. Jeff's going to expand his thing, because I was in the spaces with him, and I even was asking him about this. I'm like, when are we going to get a Gamescom type of an event for North America? Because that's really what needs to happen. E3 tried to do the public. That was chaos, man. No, that it doesn't work.
Unorganized.
They just need to go to Vegas. Go to Vegas. Vegas has obviously the room and the space to be able to cater in hundreds of thousands of people over a week period. They should just do that. That's what I personally think. You know, if they want to have a public event, or you just continue to do PAX and Comic-Con and just have your stuff there. Those are way more organized to handle the public than what E3 was trying to do. So, yeah, dude, I think the ESA is done. I think they're going to put on a brave face and say, yeah, we're going to come back. We're going to do something. Mm-hmm. But I tell everybody, go back to what E3 2020 was going to be. Before the pandemic happened, Keeley had already left. Mm-hmm. They had already announced what their plans were going to be, and it looked terrible. Go back and think about what that was going to be, and now magically it's going to be better than that. It's not. The world's changed.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking too, Paris? Actually, those events that you mentioned, that's all run by Repop. So PAX, Comic-Con, and a lot of people don't know about this, but I got approved to attend for the first time. I'm attending Star Wars Celebration, and that is also an in-person event, which I have some theories, Paris. I have some theories of what we might see gaming-wise at the event. But those events is meant for the public, and it's well organized when it comes to having the public there, having the media. I feel like E3 knows that the world has been changing. You know, go back when Nintendo started doing Nintendo Direct. Do you remember that time, Paris? A lot of people were saying, even the media were like, oh, Nintendo is done. Why are they doing this? They don't have no games. Every other company is having a press conference, but Nintendo is having a digital event. This is chaos. And look now, everybody's doing the same exact thing. Nintendo was thinking ahead of time, like the future. Yo, we got this. I mean, in a way, they were struggling because of the Wii U during that time. But it was perfect. It was a perfect thing for them. Then EA left, started doing their own thing. Paris, you remember going to E3? Big booth. What was the loudest booth?
It was the EA one.
It was EA.
You walk in West Hall. It was the first thing you see when you come in. Again, my first memory of E3 back in 2001 was walking into West Hall, EA booth, big digital thing with Madden, and I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yo, loud music, the screens, huge. And believe it or not, Paris, during that time, during the early 2000s, mid-2000s, a lot of the companies was also focusing on getting the celebs to come to E3. Dude, there was a time I will see celebs left to right at E3. Dude, Eminem and Jay-Z show. I saw, you know, multiple people from Wu-Tang Clan. And you know, remember the actor from Mini-Me? From Austin Powers?
Vern Troy. Hey, keep talking. I can hear you, but I'm grabbing something, so I won't be
able to respond. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, I'll see him. I got to see DMC from Run DMC. Steven Spielberg, lots of actors and actresses. And things has changed, man. Now it's all about like getting the content creator, you know, those big ones. And I don't know, it's just, it's so, yo, E3 is so weird now, man. So weird. That whole thing that they did last year that went digital, I get why they were doing that, but I felt like a lot of those things was kind of forced. Like, hey, let's have a press conference. No announcements. Just have it. Like, it was just weird. It was weird.
Yeah, it was.
Especially what Capcom last year was talking about esports. Yeah. 33. It was like, really?
But that was also a byproduct of a lot of these companies. And it's going to be curious to see going into this year. It was a byproduct of the pandemic where you just didn't you didn't have anything that was ready to show mm-hmm. or to talk about because, you know, game development's been so slowed down. That actually, if you want to pivot a little bit, is mm-hmm. Something to think about as we go through the rest of this year into 2023. I mean, I look at the rest of the year, and honestly, unless a lot of these companies are sitting on some really secret stuff, I would not hold my breath that we're going to get a lot coming this year. I don't think there's much. Like it wouldn't shock me if Redfall is delayed. As an example, right? I think Microsoft is really putting all their resources and effort to make sure Starfield comes out when they said. But it wouldn't shock me if Redfall got delayed. It wouldn't shock me if Forza didn't make it this year. I think about PlayStation. All we really can count on is God of War coming at this year. I think it'll make it this year.
I hope so.
But you know, obviously Breath of the Wild already got delayed into 2023 from Nintendo. So it's like EA, dude. Unless I'm hoping, knock on wood, we get Jedi Fallen Order 2 this year, but I'm not counting on it. Mm-hmm. What else do they have?
I think that's my theory, Paris, because look, here's my crazy, crazy theory, Paris.
I can hear you, but I'll be right back.
Okay. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. The main character from that game, I think he is probably going to pop up in the new Kenobi series, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And this coming out in, well, around May or so, exclusively through Disney Plus. And this will be a perfect way to also promote the game, the first game and the second game that's coming out later this year. I think that's going to happen, man, during Star Wars Celebration next month. That's my theory. I guarantee you we're probably going to see Part 2 announced during that event. And I think that's going to be EA's only big title for this year, besides the Madden and FIFA and all that stuff. But
right.
That's what I think. I think that would be a great way to do a cross promote, get to know the character, get that whole new audience to learn more about the older game and also get ready for the second game.
Yeah, I agree. That to me, that makes the most sense. That I'm pretty sure that's the plan, right? Mm-hmm. So that they'll do it at you know, in May at the Star Wars thing, mm-hmm. announce it, and then it would come out later this year, have the tie-in with the Obi-Wan show. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. My only concern, again, bringing the pandemic and game development being slowed down, it could just not be ready. And they have no choice but to delay it into mm-hmm. next year. I think we already saw it early this year. A bunch of games that should have come out in either 2020 or 2021 all got dumped into early 2022. That's why it was chaos. We had so many games that we're trying to review early this year. Mm-hmm. And now everything's just dried up. There's nothing.
A little bit. From the indie side, it's not dried up. For the AAA, yes. Because, dude, every week there's a new game. Like right now at PAX East, there's a lot of games that I'm getting emails because I've been booking appointments for work and everything. And there's some games coming out, man. Like, one of the games I'm really, really excited about is WrestleQuest. I'm excited for that. Yeah. You know, it's an indie mm-hmm. game. But from the AAA side, I think the biggest one that I know before the holiday season is Saints Row. That's the big one, unless that gets delayed. Originally, that game was supposed to come out early this year. And that got delayed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, honestly, I'm very curious to see how that game is going to look. I'm very, very excited to get some hands on and start playing that game, man. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I just hope it's not like the last Saints Row. I didn't like that game at all. It was just weird. Very, very weird. So But Cool Six says, spot on, Danny. The timeless overlap perfectly, and the preview of the show had the same villains. Hey.
Right, exactly.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Right now, Disney, they want to take advantage and...
Also, he's at Disneyland. Isn't he like at one of the things? So it's like they're integrating him into the overall Star Wars lore, not just the game. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Let me see. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this. Let me think about it. And it's about Obi-Wan Kenobi. Let me really think about it. I have to go with that. Well, look, I'll say this. There was a well-known person that I was talking to, and that person slipped and said something about Obi-Wan. I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? So, yeah, I'll just say leave it as that. That's
it. Leave it there.
Leave it as that. But I'm like, no, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you know what I'm talking about.
I think I do, too. Leave it there.
Okay, just pause. Yeah, man. What else, man? What else? I'm thinking for sure we're probably going to see Saints Row at Summer Game Fest. I think the timing makes sense. This would be perfect for Devolver. Wait, no, Deep Silver, Deep Silver to promote Saints Row during the Summer Game Fest.
Yeah, I honestly, I'd be shocked if it wasn't. It just makes a lot of sense. But, well, yeah, because it is DC. I was thinking Devolver there for a second. I was like, I would imagine Devolver's probably going to do another digital event themselves.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But you're right, though. I would imagine. So Day of the Devs is actually coming up here soon, speaking of indie games. So I'm excited for that to see.
Oh, really? When is that?
I got a press release on it. Like a week or so ago. I have to go back and look again.
I think I did too, but dude, I've been getting so many emails because of PAX. Yeah. I probably missed that, but that's good to know, man.
Because I can give a quick little spoiler thing. We on XCast, we interviewed Chris Charla from ID at Xbox earlier this week. So the episode will be out Saturday.
Oh, dope. Really dope.
Yeah. So we obviously talked a lot about ID at Xbox and stuff like that. But, you know, we even talked about Day of the Devs and some of that stuff, too. Mm-hmm. So should be good.
Well,
matter of fact, let me see. March 30th, Long Run, Day of the Devs. Wait, is there a date?
I guess
no exact date. It just saying it's coming back because Double Fine tweeted out, and I know we got that thing, but they're not giving the actual date when it's happening.
Yeah, you know, there was an analyst that saying that PlayStation VR 2 will launch in 2023 due to a delay. I can see that.
I was not expecting it to come out this year at all. We'll see. I would imagine whatever big event PlayStation does over the summer, we'll see it. But no, it ain't coming out this year. No way.
You know what? That makes sense. Here's the thing, Paris. Like, I'm wondering right now, it's so easy now to find the Series X and especially the Series S.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that the PlayStation 5, you can still find it online. Like, it's so difficult. So difficult.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
And it's been a couple of years already. Like, really?
I know. We're in unprecedented times, but who would imagine that at this point in 2022, you couldn't just walk into a store and just buy one of these consoles? We've never seen this happen before at this late stage.
That is wild.
Yeah.
That is so wild. Let me see who it is.
Jeff is doing it. It's part of Summer Games Fest, Day of the Devs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's making moves. Shout out to Jeff.
But it's smart. That's smart. I mean, highlight all these indie games. Because, dude, you know how much I love Death's Door. That was the first time I saw it. It was Day of the Devs.
It was true. It was true. You know, I'm really enjoying all these like indie games, man.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
I know it's not for everyone, every single game, but dude, like, it's so cool and different. Like, I've been having a blast playing MythForce. I know, actually, I have a code here. If anybody wants it, whoever has a PC, let me know. I'll hook you up right now. Just let me know in the chat if you have a PC. but that's from an indie studio, and that's their first original game, Paris. And it reminds me so much of like the 80s cartoon, Saturday morning, waking up in the morning, you know, like that type of vibe, the cheesy music. Oh my God. It's one of those biggest surprises for me. And it's in early access, and the full game most likely will come out sometime, maybe in the future, next year or so. But the game is really, really cool, man. So, yeah, if you guys have a PC, make sure to either buy this game. Yeah, Paris, what else? What else? While I'm doing this, anything else you want to bring up? Before you have to try it out later.
Yeah, I'm probably got to go in like about 7 minutes. Yeah. What else is even going on? I mean, like, I guess just talking, sticking on the indie game stuff for a minute. I'm with you on that, where I'm finding myself getting more excited when I see a new indie game gets released than I do one of these big AAA games, because I always feel like there's this chance you're going to see something that you've never seen before, something new, a dev's going to try something that no one's tried before in a game, or put different mechanics together in a, you know, in a combo that no one's seen before, you know, and you get this experience. Like, I love how Tunic, you literally build the manual as you go along. Right. Oh. I think that's so freaking cool. Stuff like that, you know? Yeah.
You know, I'm going to show it to everybody in a few minutes. I have the map. I have this whole collector's, like the box that the developers sent me to celebrate the release of Tunic. Yo, it is so cool. So yeah, it's the full map of the whole game. It looks dope. Yeah. Tunic is cool. It's really hard.
Yeah, it's not easy. But to me, that makes it more of a throwback to what inspired it. Something like Link to the Past. Because I tell you right now, somebody go play Link to the Past right now, you'll be like, God, this game's hard.
That game is not easy.
It's not easy.
Not easy.
It's definitely not.
Not easy. Uh-huh. And what the difference, a lot of people don't know about this, but with Tunic, you could put it in a way where like the difficulty, you could change it for, you know, people that having trouble finishing the game. You could put it all easy and you don't die. You don't die at all. You could play like that the whole game. So the only thing you have to do is just figure out the puzzles and everything else. But I mean, that was really cool of them to add that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of any other major indie games that's coming out in the future that that we're excited about. I'm excited to see what else Xbox is going to do with Game Pass this month and next month, and even during the whole year. They've been adding some great content like the past few months, man. It's been really, really cool.
So I got one for you.
Yeah, what's up?
It trips me out how, and I understand, it's social media, it's the internet, it doesn't represent the vast majority of people. It's just a small vocal minority being loud. Mm-hmm. But it trips me out that people get upset at something like Game Pass as a consumer. Why would you get upset at what Microsoft is potentially doing on the back end, making deals with these publishers and indie studios to bring these games, some of them like Weird West as an example, coming day one to the service, where you basically just get to pay a flat fee, just like you would for Netflix or Disney Plus or Spotify or any of this other stuff, and you're getting a chance to play games that some you know you are going to like and you would have bought anyways, but some you're like, huh, let me check this out, see if I like it. If you like it, great, you keep playing. If you don't, you get to put it down and go play something else without basically any penalty to you as the gamer, right? Mm-hmm. But when I see online people literally tying their own self-worth to the stupid narrative about where you play the game and how you bought the game, like if you didn't spend $70 on the game, you're just getting, you don't own it, and the cheap run, like all this silly narrative that I see online from people literally arguing over how someone else wants to enjoy playing games is something that I'll never understand, man. Never understand.
I'll tell you the reason. Fanboy.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only reason. And here's the thing, Paris. Like, yo, Sony's going to do kind of the same thing. That's good for gaming. That's good for gaming. And here's why. Point. Here's why this is good for gaming. Look, not everybody can buy a game every week, every month. The majority of consumers will buy maybe two, maybe four games a year. Think about it. $60-$70, or unless you buy the collector edition, that could be like $100-something, right? But with Game Pass, you could go and discover games that you never would have thought that you were going to download, and it's available there. You could play it. This will bring more people to gaming. The community will grow. Doesn't matter what platform it is, if it's Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, PC, it's going to help people to discover new games. It's great for the industry, the jobs. There's going to be more jobs available for developers around the world. Business is going to boom. It's a great thing. I don't know how this is a bad thing. I really don't know. You know how many games, Paris, that I downloaded through Game Pass? And I hope I could do the same now with PlayStation, that I discovered because of the service. Yo, that's a beautiful thing, man. A beautiful thing. But a lot of these, and especially they're like probably our age, freaking out and acting like children over console war.
Yeah, because that's exactly what it is. It is just at the end of the day. It's like, look, I get it. People like us, we're target. When we, quote unquote, like something, that means we, you know, we're biased towards that thing. I mean, hell, the name Gamertag Radio obviously was born through Xbox. So people think all we do is just love Xbox and I guess can't have a reasonable opinion on anything else. When, I mean, you know, the simple fact that's not true at all. We work with PlayStation and third-party publishers just as much as we work with Xbox. But people tend to want to ignore that when it's convenient for them. Bottom line is this, when I think about Game Pass, and I say it all the time because it's the freaking truth, in my opinion, it's the best value in gaming, without a freaking doubt. And I say that from the standpoint of, yes, I'm a gamer, but I'm also a parent with three kids in this house that play games too. And guess what? I'm not trying to buy a bunch of $60, $70 games for their various interests, because they all don't like the same games. They like different things. So the fact that I can have something like Game Pass, and now they're bringing that family plan in, that makes it even more of a value in my house, depending on what the price is going to be.
Yeah.
It allows them, go play what the hell you want. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to stress over it, about them begging, oh, dad, please get me this, please get me that. It's like, go play what you want. It's right there for you. You have access to all these different things that, you know, I don't have to think about it anymore. But then even me on a personal level, dude, every month when I see them come out with something new, I don't play all those games, but I always think, wow, that's pretty cool. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, didn't play it right away. I didn't play it till it started coming on Game Pass. Now I see what everyone's talking about when they say it's great. And look, and clearly we just saw was it Square or whatever, just said that Game Pass has revitalized that game and brought more interest and more people are engaging with that game now. That's the whole point. As a gamer, all you should care about is playing great games. I could give two shits about the financials on the back end of how it happens. Why should I care? It's not my problem.
It's not our problem. It's not.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone, let's talk about our sponsor for this week's episode of Gamertag Radio. That's right, Bud Light Next. Zero carbs beer is here. We're excited to be one of the first podcasts to partner with the brand new Bud Light Next, their first zero carb beer. Yeah, you heard that right. Zero carb beer is super crisp, light beer with 80 calories and 4% ABV. Few months back, I've been talking about this. Not only me, Pete has been enjoying it too. Paris, we talked about it multiple times. We started drinking this when it was first came out during the Super Bowl. I've been also playing a lot of games like Apex, Fortnite, Elden Ring, which is a very stressful game. But guess what? When I needed that break, I'll go and drink this, man. Even when I got the cool package a couple months ago from Bud Light, I opened it up. Really cool inside. Love the packaging. The cans look very futuristic. Love the design. But guess what? The most important thing is the taste, because it looks good outside, but how is inside? Look, love it. It's very crisp, refreshing, and light. This is the perfect drink to check it out when you're taking a break from your game. And plus, it surprised me with the amount of flavors for being zero carbs. I even tasted it when we were moving to our new place. Got friends and family to do it too when we need a break, you know. And even when we're watching TV shows with friends, I wanted them to try it out because I was very curious to hear their opinion. And guess what? Every single person that drank it loved it. So you don't believe me? Don't worry. You don't believe the crew of P in Paris? Go right now. Try it out for yourself. Go try Bud Light Next for yourself. It's in stores right now. To find a retailer who delivers right to your door, head over to budlight.com/next. Again, that's budlight.com/next. Enjoy responsibly. Messaging for 21 and over.
This is Gamer Tag Radio.
It's not. You know, let's say Paris, as a content creator, imagine we were developers, Paris, right? And we work really hard for 3-4 years on the game. And we release it, right? Some people buying it, some people don't, right? But imagine having like that, or having also available on a service like Game Pass. Dude, as a creator, I'll be excited because now I know people are going to be curious to download those games or our game that's available mm-hmm. through the service, because it's part of the service. People could just download it, right?
Yep.
More people, it's all about engagement. Dude, you Sony fans out there, look at the camera. Like, I'm looking at you right now. Yo, MLB The Show wasn't doing that great on just one platform, but guess what? Now it's on the Switch, it's on Xbox, it's on Game Pass, it's on PlayStation, and guess what? MLB is happy right now. So what? Are there a bunch of sellouts PlayStation for doing that? No, it's business. It's a business. They had to do that in order to get more people to become fans of the baseball and also to become fans of the game and buy it. Yo, last year was the most that Sony ever sold on that game. And the most people that play that game ever since they went multi-platform.
Yeah. And it'll be even more this year because it's on the Switch.
Yeah, and all those people that's complaining and bitching and all that stuff, yo, you guys are the worst business people. Like, they don't know anything about business. They're just thinking about supporting just one piece of plastic, and that's it. If it's not their way, then it's like, they start complaining. It's just dumb. It's just stupid.
Yeah, it is.
It's ridiculous.
And I'll even flip it on the other side, because I see this stupid argument too.
Yeah,
for me, Horizon Forbidden West, one of the best games you will play this year.
Hands down.
For just sure. Look, just because Elden Ring is game of the year, and I've not played it, by the way, I refuse until the summer. But
shots fired.
I get it. Elden Ring's great. I obviously can, as an outside observer, see how great Elden Ring is. Mm-hmm. But I've played Horizon Forbidden West. It's great. It got overshadowed because Elden Ring is a monster. That doesn't all of a sudden make Horizon Forbidden West a bad game.
Nope.
It's not. Did it have some buggy issues and all that? Yeah. Tell me a game in the modern era that freaking doesn't at this point. So to me, that isn't even an issue. Mm-hmm. You can like multiple things at the same time. That's what boggles my mind, that people have this weird loyalty that it has to be one extreme or the other. How about just like everything? Like what you want to like. Stop worrying about what other people like. I'll never understand it. Really won't understand it.
Have fun. Yeah. Look, I bet you, Paris, those people that are complaining and going online on Twitter and all that stuff, they spend more time and complaining and always about their favorite console than actually playing games. Games is meant to have fun. It's not a gang war or anything like that. You know, this is funny. So yesterday, I went to work with Ree, and I just had my hoodie, the Xbox hoodie, and I didn't realize that she had a PlayStation hoodie. So we're walking, And we had to take a COVID test yesterday, right? And the guys that were doing that, they were like, oh my God, you guys are getting married next week. And look, it's like a war. You PlayStation right here and Xbox. I'm like, we start cracking up like, oh God. We were actually thinking about taking a picture just with the fanboys.
No, you should. You should. Yeah. Just to do so.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd just be great. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's all good. But yeah, I don't know, man. I wish us, the community, could focus more on promoting the good about gaming. It's sad that there's a lot of creators that create some great content, some great tweets and posting online, doesn't get no love, no attention at all, but some dumb that posts something ridiculous that's going to create chaos. That generates.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, everybody was talking about that stupid New York Times article about Elden Ring.
I didn't say one word about it because I'm like pointless.
Yeah,
pointless.
Same here. And Paris, people that we know that have a huge following, why are you promoting that garbage? Like, why?
It's so easy to jump in the mud of the drama of the negative than it is to promote the positive. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. People will engage way more with drama, negative stuff, than good stuff.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah. That's why you see that. You know, that gets way more attention. And yeah, I mean, look, I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. Back in the day, we used to do nonsense like that. I don't know. It's because I'm old man now or whatever, but it's just like, it's such a waste of time.
Yeah,
Such a waste of time. I'd rather celebrate the good of gaming. Now, like, if something is egregious that absolutely has to be addressed, of course you say it. But stuff like that, that's a waste of time. Not going to talk about
it. It is a waste of time. I think us, we have to do a better job, man, on promoting the good and talking about the good.
I agree.
I think that's the only way for us to make the community and even the industry better, man, on promoting the good things, man. You know, like the other day, a couple of weeks ago, you know, Steve, the blind gamer, he posted something about accessibility and why, you know, games need to have different ways for you to play, like difficulty, make it easy, hard, normal, right? And he broke it down why. And that was one of the best videos I've seen in a long time. I'm like, oh, this is so good, man. I'm gonna retweet that. We need to see more of that stuff. You know, let's educate, let's learn from others, man. You know what I'm saying? But if we just promote the nonsense, the industry is still going to be the same. We're going to see people posting nonsense and posting death threats to developers. And all, you know, you get what I'm saying? I don't know. It's just not, it's not a great way to, as a society, it's not going to help at all promoting that nonsense, you know? So
no, it's all good. It's not. Yeah. I got to take off now.
That's all good. You know what? I'll probably go grab this out and put it as a podcast.
Hey, why not?
Why not?
That'd be good.
It was good.
All right. All right. I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, homie. Take care, man. Later.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to a brand new daily conversation. I haven't done that in so long with Paris, man. So again, random conversation about everything that's going on in the gaming industry. And I can't wait to hear your thoughts about it. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. We have so much stuff coming up in the future. Plus in the summer Game Fest, Gamescom, later this year, PAX and Tokyo Game Show. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff coming up. And I can't wait to have more conversations with the team. But also, I would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback. You even probably have questions about it. This is your opportunity to be part of the show. So go right now with your device and send us some questions. And here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
everyone. We're out. Until next time, thank you for listening to episode 1206. Until next time, this is Danny Pena. I'm out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.